We're going to continue our series of lessons on making our membership meaningful with the letter S. And the S stands for sharing, for sharing. With that in mind, I want to start by sharing a little story with us today. And all bias aside about things like cholesterol and trans fatty acids and carbohydrates and calories and how bad fried foods are for you, especially for kids, let's just for a few minutes admit to how good fresh hot French fries are, okay? Especially with generous portions of ketchup. At least that's how I like them, okay? In-N-Out's my favorite. I'll take some others though, but anyway. The story goes that one day a dad was running errands with his little five-year-old son. And they were just having such a great day together. The dad wanted to do something special with his little boy before they went home. So he asked him, "Son, let's go get a snack. What kind of treat would you like?" Well, the little guy got all excited and shouted, "I want McDonald's French fries." Well, his dad grinned and said, "Oh, you want it? You got it." I think it's kind of great when kids are really happy with something simple. At that age, it's you know, awesome. Well, you know, the little boy, and we'll call him Jimmy. Little Jimmy was so excited that he didn't even want to play in McDonald's play place. He just waited while his dad ordered right next to him. You know, when he heard his dad supersize the fries, well, Jimmy just started to jump up and down, just, you know, getting ready to dig into those French fries. Well, little Jimmy had such a big grin on his face that when he finally sat down at the table, he pulled out the fries from the bag and placed them on the tray. Mmm, those are going to be some good fries, you know. His dad thought about some cups of ketchup. So he went over and he got the ketchup from the dispenser, brought over the cups of ketchup and sat him down next to his son. And, you know, he just felt so good to see his son happy over something so simple as French fries. Of course, being a dad, he decided to join in the fun. You know, so he reached over to get a couple of fries for himself, but to his surprise, little Jimmy quickly put his arms around that supersized box of French fries, building himself a little bit of a fort, and he pulled those fries a little bit closer to himself. And he said, "Nope, these are my fries. These are mine." Well, his dad was in a bit of a state of shock. You know, he wasn't smiling anymore, and his son really wasn't smiling anymore. He was busy, "It's my fries," you know. So his dad just kind of sat there in silence, and his little ill-tempered son selfishly ate up all those fries. Now, if you were the dad, being a dad, I can relate to this, you know, but if you were the dad, just what do you suppose is going through your mind during all this? I think that there would be a couple of things that this dad could have been thinking. He could have been thinking, "Hey, I'm the one who gave you those fries in the first place, you know, and besides that, I supersized the order so we could share them, you know. Now that I'm a full-grown adult. If I really wanted the fries, those little skinny little arms ain't going to stop me." Yeah. Doesn't he know if I wanted to, I could just take all those fries. And if I wanted to, I could go order so many fries and put them on the plate, he could never possibly eat them all. 20 of those boxes, dump them all over the place, you know. Besides, this dad could be thinking, you know, "I don't need any of his fries. I'll just go buy my own fries. I can do that if I want to, but what I want really is for my son to let me have a share of his joy with those fries. Most of all, you see, I want to see that my boy is willing to share the blessings that I give him." You see, what I hope that we'll do whenever you eat fries after today is that you'll remember that story. And that's because it's meant really to be a parable of sorts of what our God has shared with all of us. You see, God has given each of us some French fries. Some of us have been given a small order, a little bag, and others maybe a medium or a large order, and some even a supersized box of fries. And just like the dad in our story, our God wants to sit down at the table with us and join in the fun. You see, God hopes that we'll understand that all the fries came from Him. And He wants us to know that He takes joy in sharing them with us. And He hopes to see us take joy in sharing what He gives to us with others. And to help us see that today, what we're going to do is take a look at a time when the children of Israel gave back to God, who blessed them greatly. The setting is back in the book of 1 Kings, and it's back in 1 Kings chapter 2 that King David's rule over Israel came to an end with his passing. And his son Solomon was crowned as the new king shortly after. One of the things that David really wanted to do in his lifetime was to build the temple of the Lord. But David never did get to build it. That was a job that God reserved for his son Solomon. The temple of the Lord was eventually built. And again, 1 Kings chapter 8, there we see the Ark of the Covenant being brought into the temple. And it was a tremendously joyous time for all of Israel, and especially for Solomon. This is what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 15. He said, "Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, who with his own hand has fulfilled what he promised with his own mouth to my father David. For he said, 'Since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built for my name to be there. But I have chosen David to rule my people Israel.' My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel," Solomon says. "But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, who is your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place for the ark, which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of Egypt." The covenant's in there. And the rest of chapter 8 is Solomon's beautiful prayer and this dedication of the temple of the Lord. Now, thinking back to all this, what really made all this possible? Well, of course, the blessings of God made it all possible. The blessings that were upon David and upon the nation of Israel. You see, years before, in preparation for the building of the temple, David had done all that he could to finance the project so that his son would be able to complete it. That's what he had in his mind. And again, this is all a part of God's doing. And so in preparation for this project, David had given from his own treasury literally tons of gold and tons of silver, bronze, iron, wood, onyx, turquoise, and other precious stones, marble, and other building stones. And on top of that, David added to what he had already given another 260 tons of gold and 190 tons of silver. So much material and stuff was gathered that all this was there in preparation for the building of the temple. The blessings of God were poured out upon David, and he chose to bless in return. With David's leadership and encouragement through his own actions, the leaders of the tribes of Israel had also given 190 tons of gold and 185 pounds of gold coins, as well as 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron, as well as precious stones. That's a lot of material. This was a very beautifully ornate temple that was constructed. That's a sizable offering when you stand back and think about all those materials and all those gems and all those precious metals that were donated. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9 tells us that the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly, the text says. Just think about all the people there, all these people, and how they gave so much of what they had and how thrilled they were to share it. If we contrast that a bit to today, well, you know, there are some people today who see the offering during our assembly time as somewhat of a bother, of a distraction, of something that shouldn't even be done, maybe. But when we look at King David and the leaders of the Jewish nation, how they caught a fresh vision of what a joy and delight it would be to build a temple to the glory of the Lord, they were just excited. They were thrilled at the idea. And their giving was as generous as it was joyous. Now, I think we can learn some very important lessons from the gift giving for the building of the temple, many different ones. But we're going to look at three in particular today. And one of those things that we see is that when we share what God has given to us, we are giving glory to God. We are giving glory to God. Think about it. Any time that we give generously, it shines a light on the original giver. And the one who gives us all things, and that's life, breath, talents, abilities, so on, is, of course, God. And so God generously gives us all this stuff. And so when we, in turn, are generous in our giving, we will always glorify God because he is the one who gave us everything. He is the one who motivates us to share with others by his example of giving his son on the cross to die for our sins. So when we look back at the prayer of David in 1 Chronicles 29, we see that David's prayer is really all about, his praise and thanksgiving to God for what he's been blessed with. See, right after he listed all those gifts that he had already given to the temple building project, if you will, this is what David prayed in verses 10 through 13 of 1 Chronicles 29. The text says that David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And so really, when we think about it, any time that we have an opportunity to share generously, especially, you're giving attention to and giving honor to God, glorifying God, and because he has given us everything that we have. I think Matthew 5:16 comes to mind when Jesus says that the same way we let our light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And that's all kinds of good deeds. That's all kinds of sharing, including with that. You know, you don't just do something good, but because when you think of it, really, when it comes down to it, you're sharing things like your time and your talents or your treasures. And God gets glorified when we share those things. Give, it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. That's what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. Remember, God is the creator of all things. We saw that already, and we see it back in Genesis 2, right? Verses 1 through 3. And so, all things are his. And all that we have are really his. And we have what we have because God has given us what we have. And, you know, we can talk about that now pretty easily. And we can even agree to that and even manage maybe an amen to that, you know. But when we're not assembled here, and, you know, when we're not at church, if you will, I wonder if there are people, Christians, you know, who really believe that God is the giver of every good gift, James 1:17. Well, you know, looking back at 1 Chronicles 29 in David's prayer, David shared with us that he wholeheartedly saw that all good things come from the hand of God. He also shared with us that giving back to God is one of the best ways that we can give glory to Him. That said, it's still important that we sing praises to God and that we pray to the Lord and that we serve Him and, you know, the best that we can. But when we actually share with God what He has shared with us, it gives Him great joy and glory. Of course, that wasn't all to David's prayer as we look at 1 Chronicles 29. The rest of it shows us that giving not only gives glory to God, the original giver, but when we give, it kind of changes you and me. It changes us. Our perspective on what we've been given changes, and who it affects changes. And so we find that sharing develops integrity within us. Sharing develops integrity. Here's some more of David's prayer, and this is verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 29 and following. It says, "But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without a hope," he says. "O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." Now, there's a lot of questions we can ask of this passage, but I'm kind of interested in why David talked about honesty and integrity when he was praying about the special offering for the temple. I think it's because David knew that giving is always a test of one's heart. As a matter of fact, when it came to giving back to God, God told us in Malachi 3:10 to put Him to the test, to see how much blessing He would pour out on those who honored Him with their giving. But we also know that the systematic giving that we do on a regular basis puts us to the test too. Think about it, it tests our integrity, it tests our honesty, and it tests our commitment to the Lord and His church. Some Christians manage to pass the test with, you know, straight A's, flying colors, whatever you want to call it. Well, others, you know, it shows that there's a little bit more growing and maturing yet to happen in their lives. So when it comes to giving back to God, some people tend to be like little Jimmy and fold their arms around their fries, you know, and say, "No, God, that's mine. Nope, you can't have any," you know. I love how God tells us in Romans 12 how love and sharing are connected to our integrity. Starting in verse 9, Paul writes this. He says, "Love must be sincere, hate what's evil, cling to what's good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, do not repay anyone evil for evil, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." Again, that's Romans 12. 9 through 17. Again, I find it interesting to discover that people who make a lifetime of giving tend to be more honest. And that's because people who share what they have really develop integrity. They tend to be people of integrity. On the other hand, people who want to spend everything that they have on themselves and put their arms around everything and say, nope, mine, they tend to be a little bit more dishonest. And that's because it's hard to keep everything for yourself without resorting to some sort of cheating or lying. That includes, but isn't limited to, things like cheating the people that you do business with, or lying to the IRS, or anyone that threatens to ever touch what you want to hoard. But in the end, refusing to share takes away that joy from your life. That's because God is not greedy with us. On the contrary, God lavished us with all love, 1 John 3:1. And it's God's plan for us to share with others. We see this clearly in the early church in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, where we're told that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And so when it comes to what God has blessed us with, we can either selfishly hoard those blessings or share them and bring joy to both ourselves as the giver and to those others who receive. Remember, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he should know. And so our sharing produces joy. Our sharing produces joy. Back at our main text again in 1 Chronicles 29, we read how David ended his prayer. There David prayed, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who have given, who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. Keep this desire in their hearts," he says, "of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." You know, when we look at things like the Harvest Festival yesterday, something that has absolutely no budget, zero, but we managed to do it year after year after year after year, and you have to kind of wonder, how in the world can that even be possible? Well, the obvious reason that we can do it is because we have enough people who are willing to share. Willing to share their time, their talents, and their treasures to make it happen. And therefore, their integrity is strengthened, and they're filled with the joy of being a blessing to others. And they bring joy to those that they bless. So they receive joy, and others receive joy by this giving. And briefly, I think that there are three main areas of sharing that really brings about great joy in our lives. And the first is fellowship. When we share in fellowship, we find joy. Philippians 1, 25 and 26 says it this way, "I will continue," Paul says, "with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me." Now, Paul is saying that, you know, the time he gets to spend with the church at Philippi brings him joy. And he believes it brings them joy too. And it does. They share in that joy and the fellowship they have together. Another area of sharing that brings joy is the sharing of stuff. Stuff, you know. And this is what we can read in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 that Jerry read for us this morning. God says in his word again that to remember this, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." I think that really fits well with a harvest festival yesterday. Everybody coming together, especially a few particular individuals who were truly a blessing to us. And so the sharing of the stuff that we've been blessed with brings us joy. It does. It brings us joy, and it brings others joy too. Yesterday, all those kids running around having fun and everything, and parents with their smiles on their faces seeing their children have fun, and we with our smiles on our faces seeing everybody. That's joy. That's joy because of sharing and the blessings that we have. In this passage again, amen. In this passage again, you know, we're even told that the amount that we share is proportionate to the amount of blessings we receive. Now, every time, though, I do talk about something like this, I always feel like I have to make the usual disclaimers because I'm not advocating a health and wealth prosperity gospel. That said, God does say here in 2 Corinthians that if you don't share your fries, you won't be getting a whole lot of fries to share. So, you know, the more we choose to bless, the more we will receive in one way or another. And finally, just one more area in which our sharing brings us, and that's God and others and you and me joy. And that's the joy of salvation. All throughout Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about the joy of finding that which is lost, especially the lost soul. And the joy that comes from sharing salvation is a joy that's shared by God and us. And of course, the one receiving the message of the good news, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:39, because you remember that after he was baptized into Christ, he went on his way rejoicing because he was saved. Well, again, as a member of the church, my sharing glorifies God. My sharing develops integrity. And my sharing produces joy. Joy. Now, before we close and offer the invitation, I think it might be good to go back and reflect on little Jimmy with the supersized fries. You see, God loves us all very much, and God blesses us very much. And he shares with us from all of his creation. And so when it comes to supersizing things, God can do it if he wants to. And let's just say, for the sake of our discussion, that he did. Let's assume that God has blessed you with a supersized order of fries. What do you do when God reaches over to have a taste of your fries? Do you circle arms around your blessing and say, no, God, sorry, mine. Or do you have the mature ability to open your arms to know that all that you have came from God in the first place, and that God can always provide for us more at any moment, and that sharing back with God can be a moment of great joy again for us, for others, and for God? Something to think about, especially the next time you have fries. And so today, if you've come to better understand the blessings that God has shared with us, especially the blessings of Jesus Christ, but you've yet to receive the shared blessings of Jesus, know this, that when you do receive it, you'll become a Christian. And Jesus tells us that anyone can become a Christian when they believe in him and are baptized, Mark 16:16. And for those of us who are already Christians, well, the encouragement is for us to share our time and our talents and our treasures, all that God has really shared with us. And we share those things, of course, again, with God and with others, so that God will be glorified and our integrity strengthened and joy brought to everyone. Again, this morning, if there's anyone who needs to come forward to be baptized into Christ, or maybe there's a prayer request or some other need that could be helped out with by this congregation, you're always encouraged to come on forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.